What's up? This is...
Lisa, sad Lisa. Her eyes like windows trickle in rain upon her pain, getting deeper. Though my love wants to relieve her, she walks alone from wall to wall, lost in a hall. She can't hear me, though I know she likes to be near me. Lisa, Lisa, sad Lisa, Lisa. If she really wants me to help her, I'll do what I can to show her the way. And maybe one day I will free her, though I know no one can see her. Lisa, Lisa, sad Lisa, Lisa.
And that was Cat Stevens, Sad Lisa. You are tuned to the stream of Freak Radio Santa Cruz at freakradio.org. As you probably know, since you'll be listening to this on the stream, we actually continue to have fond hopes of going up. Actually, it's a matter simply of putting a transmitter up a tree and then proceeding from there. And that may happen in the next few days. You never can tell. I'm getting positive indications from other tree monkeys that that might be some kind of monkey business. That's the best thing to do. In the meantime, please call in to today's show. This goes on from 6 to 8 tonight. If you're listening in on the show on Thursday, the 13th of October, 2011, then you are live, or at least you're listening to me live, and you can be a part of the show. You can call in at 831-427-3772, 831-427-3772, and I'll be having a couple of guests on the air, I think. One of them is going to be Danica DeFoy, who's a broadcaster from KXRA and a strong supporter of Bradley Manning, Julian Assange, and other social justice causes locally. She's been at a lot of the protests, and she will be calling in shortly, I believe, to talk about Occupy Santa Cruz, Occupy Seaside, Occupy Monterey, you know, the local solidarity protests that are seeking to restore government to the people or establish a new way of proceeding. I don't want to go, the word government has got a kind of a nasty quality to it these days because of its abusive entanglement with corporations, war, repression, and so forth. And, of course, there are those of us who are anarchists who believe that it was fated to be that way to begin with, given the kind of power accretion that happens there. Let's begin with a little tune by David Rovix called Occupy Wall Street, and it's not bad. Rovix, some have said, is kind of a whiny singer with sort of a one-note quality to him. Good philosophy, good specifics, good politics, but some people don't like his music. I'm sort of 50-50. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. See what you think.
Because this is where the power has its seat. Because 99% of us are suffering at the mercy of the madmen on this street. Because all of us are victims of class warfare being waged on us by the 1%. Because these greedy banksters robbed the country, leaving us without the means to pay the rent. Because the last time that we had a decent government was about 1932. Because we the people are supposed to run this country, but instead it's all run by and for the few. Because now we know the rich do not pay taxes, but when they need a hand, it's us who bail them out. Because we suspected we lived in a plutocracy, but suddenly of late there is no doubt, and so we're gonna stay. On my credit card just doubled, and now I can't pay the minimum amount. Because these budget cuts are just immoral, with our schools as overcrowded as they are. Because there are no buses where I live, but I can't afford to drive a car. Because so many of us don't have health insurance, the rest of us have it, but it sucks. Because the rich are flying in their private jets while the rest of us are slogging through the muck. Because capitalism isn't working, this system has just failed to produce. Because the 1% is prospering while the rest of us just suffer their abuse. And so we're gonna stay right. Demonstrated amply that the winners are the ones who stick around. Because this world should belong to everyone, not just the banksters would smash it to the ground. Because we've noticed voting doesn't change things when the politicians are mostly millionaires. Because we're learning how to stand up like Tunisians, like like they did in Tahrir Square, where a young man named Mohammed Bouazizi struck a match that lit up all the earth. And all around the world the spell was broken, and a movement for the future was in birth. Because there's only so much shit the rich can feed us before we figure out which side we're on. Because we've learned if we want our liberation, it will come only if we stay here till the rising of the dawn. So we're gonna stay right here. We're gonna stay right here. Because corporations are not people, and we can't just let them choose. Because if we leave our fate to them, then all of us will surely lose. Because the climate clock is ticking, and we can't just leave our world behind. Because corporate rule isn't working, and it's time for humans' hearts and minds. Because you can't take it with you, because the rich just do not care. Because it doesn't matter how much you make, but how much you can share. Because these moments don't come often, because we want truly to be free. Because we know what really matters, something called society. We're gonna stay.
David Rovick's Occupy Wall Street. It's online in case you want to download it. Just Bing or Google for Rovick's Occupy Wall Street. You're tuned to the Stream of Freak Radio, and tonight is high noon or midnight for the Capitola residents of, I guess it's Surf and Sound. I'm not sure the name of this RV park, but the rent control is up for a gutting, and on the line with me, I have activist Laura Tucker. Hey, Laura, how you doing?
Hello.
And I know that, you know, that you're kind of, you know, you were running around to get some, you know, people aware that this is happening. I actually looked online to see for more information about the 7 o'clock city council meeting. There is a so-called preview of it at Capitola SoCal Patch. Repeal of rent control could finally get its second reading at Thursday's meeting of the Capitola City Council, according to Jacob Bourne. It has been months since the first reading of the repeal of rent control, but a second and final vote could rid Capitola of the regulation for good. I guess maybe he likes to get rid of it. Residents of Surf and Sand Mobile Home Park have reached a settlement agreement with park owner Rod Reed in the lawsuit concerning fair rents. With the settlement, the second reading could occur at tonight's meeting or at the next meeting in 2 weeks. Per the fine print of the settlement, residents are not expected to attend the meeting to contest the vote, according to this. But then there's a comment that says from Lori Beamish, we at Surf and Sand are hoping for a continuance to the next meeting due to the settlement to give time for some people to get their leases before the repeal. The settlement only covered people in the lawsuit, but not everyone in the park that was originally offered a lease was part of that suit. And then there's a woman, Jean Bourdreau, who says, thank you for posting the status, Lori. I hope they don't accept the settlement. I have no idea what the law firm is offering. I worry that they are lowballing you folks at Surf and Sand.
What do you got on this, Laura? I know you've been following it. In fact, you live there, right?
Well, I'm in a mobile home park in Capitola, and I guess the main thing that I want to say is that if there are any voters in the city of Capitola that support rent control, they really need to be there tonight to let the city council know that we support rent control, that they vote, and that they're not going to support any city council members who are going to get rid of rent control. And a lot of people feel like it's too late. I don't think it's ever too late. They tabled it before because enough people showed up. And at Surf and Sand in particular, I've only been exchanging phone messages with some of the residents there. The last I heard, there was 9 eviction notices given 3-day notice, and that there are people that don't qualify for the lease. One man I talked to, his father was 98 years old, or excuse me, 85 years old, and didn't qualify. They're also giving people eviction notices and then expecting them to pay for having their mobile homes moved off of the property. So it's really pretty Machiavellian, you know. And the city council is just been paying, fighting these lawsuits for so long that I think they're just waving the white flag. Even the ones that really did support rent control have pretty much buckled under. And so I think a lot of people feel like it's too late, but I think it's never too late. And I'm just hoping that enough people will show up down there tonight and let them know that, I'm of the opinion that it was reasonable to raise the amount of rent control to a more fair level for the landlord.
Didn't they double your rent immediately in March with this new rent control gutting, or the older rent control gutting that happened back then?
My rent went up $275 in 1 month, which I had to waive my right to 3 months to be able to, although we did see it coming, so in a way we did have that 3 months, but legally our rent went up in 1 month.
It went up from what, Laura? What was it before?
Well, I was paying $200 a month before, and now I pay $475, and that's the part that I do feel like, even though it's difficult for me because I am on an extremely low, according to HUD standards, extremely low income and also a fixed income, that was very difficult for me. Nonetheless, I feel like for the park owners that $475 is more fair than $200, but they're... Well, the owners of the park knew what they were getting into when they bought the land.
Who are the owners, and what is their financial situation?
Well, the owner of my park is Albert Vieira, who owns mobile home parks and apartment complexes, across the coast of California, from what I understand, in Marina, in Watsonville. He has land off the Azores. He's got, these guys are working together. They're on a mission to eliminate rent control, not just in Capitola, but the state of California, and really not just the state of California.
Would you say that Albert Vieira is one of the 1% we've heard about at Occupy Santa Cruz and Occupy Wall Street?
I don't know that much about his finances, but that from my uneducated opinion, I would wager a guess that would be true.
He certainly sounds like he's not a poor guy, whereas he's dealing with a lot of poor people. Has he provided good services at this, what's it called, Surf and Sand place that you've lived at? How long have you lived there for?
I don't live at Surf and Sand. I live at Cabrillo Mobile Home Estates.
Cabrillo Mobile Home. I guess there's somebody else who owns Surf and Sand, right?
I feel he's shown a serious lack of compassion on several occasions. On the other hand, I don't know, where he's coming from,
What about the facilities he provides? Are they, modernized? Have they all been, spruced up in the last few years? I mean, I've heard some nasty stories about him, I think, for some of the other mobile home parks that he's been, he's owned, have been responsible for. I don't think he was around De Anza. That was Manufactured Homes Corporation. But I think the second mobile...
There's been plenty of nasty stories about him. And he, even though he didn't own De Anza, he was one of the, as I understand it, and I don't know this for sure, but as I understand it, these mobile home park owners work together and fund each other. you know, help fund each other, and that he was involved with Deanza in some way. And there was a lot of substandard situations happening here in our mobile home park, and we were actually able to win. City council voted that he needed to pay us back rent after a few years ago. Anyway, he owes that was part of our deal to get that 12-year lease, was that he owed us money that he never wanted to pay. But also, you know, legally he needs to have posted somewhere in the park the name and the phone number of an ombudsman. I have never, ever, ever seen that posted anywhere here in the park. And there's been serious problems with the sewage and with gas and electrical issues. So, yeah, it's gotten much better because we have a couple of pretty aggressive residents that has been, you have formed a mobile home park association, and, you know, we're able to get that.
I think it may be Vera-owned Clearview Court in Santa Cruz, and that was one that was that had rent control ripped off, again, through a similar surrender. I could be wrong about Vera, but I know that the rent control was ripped off in Clearview Court and Deanza, and I guess the same thing is happening in Capitola because of, I guess, the power of the – well, we'll see if the power of the tenants can fight back. You suggesting people come to Capitola City Hall tonight at 7 o'clock when the meeting is happening?
You know, I really hope they do. The thing that kills me the most is that we have elderly and disabled up there on the hill at Surf and Sand that are being evicted from their homes. And I'm surprised that there hasn't been a bigger outcry from the public and more calls to, you know, what I really want the city council members to know is that there are voters out there that seriously disapprove of what's happening. And I hope they come tonight, 7 o'clock, to Capitola City Council.
And where is Capitola City Council, for those who don't know?
Well, it's the same as the police station. It's right downtown. There's the Esplanade there with all the dining and kind of in from that. Gosh, I'm sorry. You told me ahead of time to have directions, and I'm the worst direction giver. But it's a small little village down there. Anyone could direct you to the police station, which is the same as the city council. It's right across from the fire.
Well, if it's at the city hall, it's at 420 Capitola Avenue, according to this.
Thank you, Robert.
420 Capitola Avenue. It's if you take the road that goes through Capitola and then winds out back onto Highway 1, it's as you start to go back into Highway 1, I think that's where it is, if I'm not mistaken. And that's at 7 o'clock in about half an hour. People are going to be showing up. Are you going down there yourself?
I'm going down there, and the last time that they were planning to vote to repeal rent control completely, enough people showed up that they tabled it indefinitely. So,
but apparently not indefinitely, but they did table it, right?
Well, so now here it is back on the table.
Right.
And hopefully we can get them to table it again.
Well, give us your update once I wish you luck tonight with that. I will continue to mention that 420 Capitola Avenue, there is the event coming up tonight at 7. You know, it'd be nice if Occupy Capitola suddenly formed around issues like this, because it sounds like the poorest are getting ripped off for the benefit of the wealthy, because, you know, the very city is being blackmailed into abandoning fair rent control because it's being threatened with endless legal disputes.
Well, I think it's really important because it's not just rent control. You know, if you can do this to a city for rent control, you can do it to a city council for something else. If you have enough money, you can just bog them down with lawsuits until you've completely, you know, bankrupt them and they can't afford it anymore.
And in the past, I've suggested people turn to initiative and referendum and recall, which is a rather costly and not so much costly, but time-consuming and energy-consuming process. You know, but now we have these new forms of political power that are beginning to show up. Occupy Wall Street protests are now in about 1,600 cities throughout the country. Or at least there are nuclei groups in each of those cities, according to Occupy Together, the website I just looked at. So there could be a way for people to start expressing power directly against these the wealthy, the corporate bosses, and their political whores in power who are doing this kind of stuff and ignoring the needs of poor people.
Well, you know, that is a really good thing that they're doing, because that, on the other side, is exactly what these rich mobile home park owners are doing, is that they are eliminating rent control city by city. They're all supporting each other. They were intent that the same lawyers were not here sooner, because they were busy in San Diego, I believe, is where they went last. But after they're done with Capitola, they're going for Watsonville. And I'm not sure exactly what happened. I think there was a little bit of a victory in Marina. But, you know, San Francisco has rent control. They're not going to stop. They're just going to go from city to city.
And so I think that tonight is not the last night on this issue. I mean, it's, you know, in the 30s, when the landlords evicted people in New York City, the Communist Party and other groups who were activists got together, and when the people were evicted, they would just pick up the furniture that the people had taken out of their houses and put it back in their houses and tell the sheriff, you know, no thanks, you're not doing this. And if enough people start standing together against this stuff, there's going to be direct action. It doesn't have to work into the arcane processes of the Capitola City Council. But I still think it's good you're doing what you're doing tonight. We've been talking with Laura Tucker. Laura, I'll give you the last word. I got to roll on to something else.
Well, okay, I'll give you a quote, and I wish I could remember the name of the person that said it, but I just heard this quote today, that there are two poles of power, the people with the money, and it was those with the money and those with the people. So if we have enough, you have enough money, you have power. If you have enough people, you also have power. So I hope we can get some people down there tonight.
And if not tonight, then tomorrow and the next day and the next to change this situation.
I hope so.
Thank you, Laura.
Thanks.
Call me back.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And again, that was Laura Tucker, an activist who's fighting the destruction of rent control for Capitola Mobile Home Park folks that's happening tonight at the Capitola City Council, or that's what's threatened. Anyway, a longtime activist died recently. I think it was yesterday. I got the word from Linda LeMaster, and she sent me an email which she wanted me to read to discuss this issue. I'm actually going to try to call her on the phone, because I think she might actually do this better since she wrote this. It would be nice if she, maybe she wants to read it herself. I don't know. Let's see if she does. I'm giving her a call and seeing if we can reach her. Sometimes hard to catch a hold of Linda, who has been a co-host on this show and is actually person who is facing a trial for sleeping outside, which scores of people are doing tonight, actually. Thousands. No, she's not available. We're just getting a message. Scores of people are doing across the country. Well, thousands of people doing this across the country in different places to stand up in solidarity with each other against a system that's impoverishing, immiserating, and murdering people abroad and stealing people's homes. Stealing people's homes one foreclosure at a time across the country, or, you know, through rent control destruction and through other activities as well that essentially redistribute the wealth upward in an absurd and completely futile but immiserating situation. It's absurd because the health of a country does not rest upon the wealth of the few, but upon the wealth of the many. And it's just ridiculous what's going on. It's in the sense that it's a self-destructive process. But empires can stay together for a long time if people keep down and keep subservient and don't stand up and say, band together and say, no, we've had enough of this. Anyway, here's this tribute to a woman, Shannon Cosamo, who I first met way back in the 70s when she and her then husband, Ray Gluck Grunijk, he's changed his name. He was a lawyer for the people. He's still been a legal activist for the people over the last 30 years. And she has also been, she was an activist as well. She was an activist with the ACLU at that time, actually concerned with the rights of poor people in Santa Cruz somewhat. No longer at the moment, as far as I can see. I'm going to read this tribute. Shannon Cosamo was born in San Francisco, raised her family in a Live Oak neighborhood, and died Tuesday, October 11th. After several years struggling valiantly to overcome aggressive bone cancer.
Kisamo was a founding member of Welfare Parents Support Group, Inc., and served on that board with many of its self-help and mutual helping projects for over 8 years. She was also an active volunteer when Welfare Parents Support Group was a grassroots group. Before this, she was a daily cook and server for Peter Carota's Street Kitchen and then at the Amora Street Soup Kitchen for many years. Always a friend of homeless families and individuals, Shannon often aided people by sharing her home with people who had no safe shelter. Recently, Deadhead Mandolin David was among those who stayed at Kasama's home. After the earthquake in 89, she took me, that's Linda LeMaster, and both sons into her home until we found a new place several months later. Same for many folks in between. She continued as a support person for the Scotts Creek Geeks, which is a group of activists who lived in their vans, actually just a community of people who lived in their vans, driven out of Santa Cruz by the sleeping ban and similar laws, and who were then busted by the sheriffs in an attempt to make the whole situation untenable for people to drive them out of the county. And they struck back by occupying the county building, somewhat similar to what's happening now, though they were more aggressive. They actually went inside and occupied. And in the longest misdemeanor jury trial in Santa Cruz history up to that time, and maybe still, they were acquitted by juries, even though they admitted that they had done what they had done. The jury just felt it was unjust to punish them because the county had taken away their vehicles, their homes. They said, okay, then we'll make the county building our home. Perhaps Occupy Santa Cruz may consider doing something similar. Who knows? Kasamo, mother of Raymond and Kim, loved being a grandmother and was an avid reader and an incredible diverse master chef. She served on the ACLU board of directors for several terms and worked long and hard as an advocate for human and civil rights. Shannon was an important influence for me, Linda LeMaster. She taught me about anarchy and was exceptionally resourceful. She fought for a world that would be less hostile towards mothers and their children and worked hard for accountability among our public servants. She will be remembered for her work of both Jane Imbler's successful hunger strikes when there was no public sanctuary for homeless people in our area, and there still isn't, and was a crucial helper in my own 28 days fasting alongside Imbler's second fast. Jane Imbler did a hunger strike in two of them, actually, in 1985 and 1986, in order to... It was 85 and 86, could have been 84 and 85. It was 85 and 86. In order to protest the violence against the homeless, the camping ban / sleeping ban, and the associated sleeping ban ordinance, and also lack of shelter. And she helped establish the first cold and rainy night shelter, which was at Cedar Street for that year. Hungry Women United. Shannon was also a member of the grassroots group Hungry Women United when Hungry Women United persuaded the state legislature to not give Pete Wilson a raise. I will miss her deeply. Signed, Lighthouse Linda. Yeah, Shannon, I don't know if I have any tape of Shannon. She was a very sort of low-profile person, but she was there providing support. She offered lodging for me when I was homeless in Santa Cruz in 1988. She's done that for many other people, apparently. And she was also very outspoken. I called her sharp-tongued Shannon at different points. And she had no patience with injustice locally. She was just quite a woman. So anyway, she's dead. But what she fought for continues to go on, and that's what I talk about. A lot of these issues are issues I think she would share with me. Support for those issues. And anyway, those are a few words about Shannon Kasamo. Actually, I called her Sidewalk Shannon because she helped people on the sidewalk, and she helped me put together some of the issues of the Street Shit Sheet, which was a homeless newsletter, particularly frequent, that I put out in the late 80s and early 90s, which you can still find online. You can't find it online, but you can find it in the main Santa Cruz library if you want to check it out. So let's turn now to Occupy Santa Cruz. Here's a couple of interviews I picked up just before I went on the air. It's just a kind of a couple of quick vignettes, and then we're going to go into some longer interviews, maybe hearing from Danica DeFoy at 7. That's what we're planning to do, although sometimes things work out, sometimes they don't. And who knows? Maybe we'll hear from you at 427-3772 if you want to call in. I'll also be checking my emails at rnorris3@hotmail.com. rnorris3@hotmail.com.
June 2011. I'm down here at the front of the county building. Folks are holding signs, nonviolent real system change, imagine peace, and of course the large Occupy Santa Cruz sign. A lot of signs have been put up now along the sides of the backs of cars that people can see as they drive along Water Street. And there's a couple of tables out there. And numerous folks. It's not capitalism when we bail out Wall Street. Every town is ground zero. Heal America, tax Wall Street. We have scores, might even be a couple hundred signs. And folks are here comfortably ensconced in chairs. And it's a, okay, we got old activists and new activists and plenty of activists all over the place. And here we have a man making a sign. What is your sign going to say? Free radio one.
It's going to say, remember me, Dabkowski? Because, yes, it's me again, Bob the Anarchist. And I just wanted to remind her that I'm coming back, and I'm here to occupy Santa Cruz.
And the man, the woman she's talking about, he's talking about, Sarah Dabkowski, was the prosecutor who prosecuted Bob, as well as Ed Fry, Gary Johnson, Colette Connolly, and... I guess would be prosecuting Chris Doyen and Linda LeMaster, if and when. Actually, she is prosecuting Linda LeMaster under this absurd 647E ordinance that is used historically and has been used repeatedly to go after political protesters claiming that they are lodging when they are in fact engaging in simply First Amendment protected protest on the steps of or on the property of the city or the county or the state. And I've been arrested under it numerous times, not in Santa Cruz, but in San Francisco and Sacramento. And all the charges have been dropped because in those cities they know better than to prosecute these things. Apparently they don't have the money to waste, or they realize. To some extent it's also been there were larger groups of people who had better solidarity and more legal support. But anyway, that's who Bob is talking about. He's who is making a sign that he's back. He apparently had to agree to do some community service to essentially he pled out of that case rather than risk a 6-month jail sentence such as was given to Ed Fry and Gary Johnson, who are still appealing that sentence. Again, their crime is holding up signs on the steps of the county building in favor of the rights of homeless people and staying there overnight on behalf of those rights. That was called lodging, and it actually was defined sleeping. Judge Gallagher, who did the case, defined it as sleeping, and that's, again, it'll be coming up with Linda, and of course, it'll be coming up in far more vigorous terms if it's used against the protesters at the county building for Occupy Santa Cruz, and it's been threatened twice, and I'm going to play that tape again where more threats came down. There's supposedly a truce happening now where the county authorities have said, oh, we won't do this because you just have to, you can't have any bedding on the steps, and we've got these conditions, yada, 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 which they're pulling out of their hat, of course, as usual, because these steps of the county building in front of the courthouse, they're actually in front of Water Street, are not used by anyone for any purpose except as an emergency exit. And then that happens, like, what, once every 2 or 3 years, maybe? I don't know. It's very rare. And they've agreed, of course, to clear the steps if there's an emergency and so forth. In the meantime, it is a very visible spot for people to demonstrate around issues that are very important to people throughout this country and certainly also throughout this county and city. So let's hear some more from Bob the Anarchist, also known as Mr. Anderson.
Bitch. Now, you are, in fact, a not convicted, but a hung jury guy. The jury tried to convict you for a 647E, a lodging violation for the Peace Camp 2010.
Yes, sir, that is correct. And I got out of it by doing 25 hours of community service. They gave everyone else 6 months in jail. So if that's telling you that something doesn't sound funny there, I don't know what is.
Well, you played ball with the authorities.
Oh, yeah, of course. I gave them a run for their money.
Well,
oh, man.
You go for a second trial, I guess, was the point. You
pretty much.
Deal.
Yeah, I took the deal.
In the first trial, because Bob had a dog and they would not let him into that the rules prohibited dogs in the homeless shelters that didn't exist, by the way, that night anyway, but that the prosecution was able to show that there was one bed somewhere that might have been used, one or two beds that might have been used by the activists who numbered, well, the people at the Peace Camp 2010, there were literally 50 or 60 people sleeping there at least that night. So the idea that all these people could fit into two beds, and because they didn't go down and get into those two beds, that they were somehow guilty of, they didn't have a need to sleep, they didn't have a necessity defense, so it couldn't be used properly. But Bob, the jury apparently bought that line of nonsense from the DA, from the prosecutor, but didn't buy it for in Bob's case, because Bob had a dog and the rules did not allow dogs. So, and they were also concerned that the dog would be put to sleep if Bob were convicted and that would have no place to go. So out of sympathy for pets, the jury hung. That is to say, it could not reach a decision, and the prosecutor then gave him a deal offering 25 hours of community service as a penalty instead of the 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine, which he gave to Gary Johnson and Ed Fry, who is the lawyer and activist who put forward these issues. Ed Fry is now working with Occupy Santa Cruz. Gary Johnson has separated himself from Occupy Santa Cruz, believing it is likely to be taken over, if not already taken over, by politicians and bureaucrats. That's not a very... I haven't heard that opinion from many other people. Gary sometimes goes out on a limb himself alone on these issues, though he's a very courageous guy and very well spoken in many ways, and also can be a terror if he doesn't like what you're doing. Don't try to ask for hugs for women around him, or you'll be accused of being a pervert. I had that experience. In any case, but he's nonetheless, a strong activist. And there's a lot. He's facing jail for 6 months for an absurd crime, an absurd quote crime unquote. And Bob got acquitted, but did a deal on it. And he's back now, along with a bunch of other people, doing exactly what he did. But, of course, the authorities are leaving them alone because they don't want to face an even greater outrage from the community as they repress political protests, which is, by the way, happening, scheduled to happen in New York City, 7 a.m. tomorrow. We're going to hear more about that from Curbugger Chris, also known as Commander X, who is also one of the protesters and also a Peace Camp 2010 defendant who will be presumably either going to trial or trying to do some kind of deal around the same 647E lodging charge that the sheriffs were using to terrorize and frighten away Occupy Santa Cruz protesters a few nights ago.
And, I came out of it completely fine and normal. I mean, I'm kind of pissed about what happened to everyone else, to be honest, because I don't feel that I'm anything special and I'm anything better. They should have had the same deal as I did.
So how long have you been with the protest, Bob?
Well, I just got in today. I just hitched in from Marina, and I found out where it was at and that my old friends were involved, so I decided to stop by and pay him a visit, maybe stick around for a while. Who knows what will happen.
Thank you, Bob.
Oh, thank you, Mr. North.
You're here. Oh, Herbugger Chris, a.k.a. Commander X, has a sign, "You say class war like it's a bad thing." And there's a picture of a guillotine. And Chris, of course, has his own personal sign that says, "Off with their heads." And we have a second sign, "The poor have nothing left to eat except the rich." For heaven's sake.
Rich people sausages. Isn't that a great idea? The idea whose time has come. We'll get their mansions, and we'll get their money, and we'll also get some extra food in the food supply, see?
Shocking.
We won't waste a thing.
Troublesome.
Yes.
Difficult.
And then we'll take their heads, which we don't really want to eat because they're not that tasty, and we'll mount them on, like, our walls.
Indeed. Dinner time calls.
Okay.
We've been talking with
Commander X.
Oh, almost got you there, Chris.
Yeah, shut up. Go.
Chris has an update.
Well, yeah, I guess you could do it on tape or whatever. They're fixing the raid at Zuccotti Park. Bloomberg has put down a line in the sand.
In New York City.
It'll take place around 2 a.m., and we want to try to watch it on the stream. I encourage you at home to get on your laptop, try to find it's a global revolution at Ustream. So go to Ustream and search up Global Revolution as a stream. But you can also probably just do it with Google. But try to watch the live stream. We want to try to bear witness. And people are coming from all over America. People are going into New York City to have a stand, this last stand against Bloomberg. So it's
your first stand.
7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is when the deadline is. And we expect the action to start probably before then. We're looking at between 2 and 3 our time here. So, you know, try to watch. And we're going to try to set up live streams here just for people to watch here on the porch, too.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, bye.
And those were a couple of interviews about half an hour ago at Occupy Santa Cruz at the courthouse, where, as I understand it, the situation there is that there's just a jillion signs, to use a phrase, in front of the courthouse, people standing in the bike lane or next to their cars with signs on cars, signs on the steps, signs on the bushes, signs on the trees, some of them rather clever, many of them, pretty pertinent stuff as far as I'm concerned, and also very individualized stuff, too. The authorities, the county authorities, the sheriffs have told apparently the latest version of the law or what will allow or the word from Susan Mariello, chief administrative officer of the county of Santa Cruz, who apparently makes $500,000 plus a year if you include her pension and her benefits. I went to a website and saw that figure claim, which to me is amazing. I mean, they should be, you know, occupying her offices and her polo grounds. I mean, it's incredible. But she's apparently the one who they're using as the authority for trying to scare away the protesters, at least on two occasions, one of which where I was there, one of which when I simply heard from got independent reports. I think it was Friday night they attempted the first attempt to scare people away, and I played some of the tape on that. I'm going to play it again in a moment because I think it's interesting, as an interesting aspect to it. And then secondly, on I believe it was on Saturday night, it was either Saturday night or Sunday night, when the sheriff's deputies returned and told people that they had to remove all their signs and they couldn't be there or they would be arrested or cited for 647E, this anti-lodging law, state penal code. And four guys just went up there and put up their chairs and sat there anyway, and the sheriffs never came back. And then there's some talk that since then there's been this understanding. The understanding is, I have no idea, it has no legal force. It's all in violation of city codes, not in violation of the lodging law, because lodging law is something that the authorities just pull out of their hat when they want to get rid of protesters. It's almost never used in any other way. The Occupy Santa Cruz folks have been sleeping in San Lorenzo Park every night, and now apparently they are moving closer to the county steps where the actual daily protests and nightly protests happen. Because of friction with some of the activists in the park or nervousness about homeless folks who live in the park, or it's not entirely clear to me what exactly is going on there, except maybe they want to be more visible as well. We'll see what's going on. I think they're still on city property, which means they're all illegal after sunset because it's illegal to be in the park after sunset. Thank you, Parks and Rec Department, for this absurd closing of public space. And it's also illegal to fall asleep after 11 o'clock at night under the city's sleeping ban, 6.36010A. And it's also illegal to cover up with blankets, which they're doing under 6.36010B. And it's also illegal to set up a tent or have camping equipment any time of the day or night with the intention of remaining overnight under 6.36010C. So they're violating all kinds of laws, but the city is saying, well, First Amendment, it's not saying anything. It's just not doing anything. And we'll see if this continues. On the other hand, they're going after homeless people on the periphery, ticketing them for smoking, for being in the... I don't know if they're getting tickets for being in the park after dark or for... They are getting some tickets for sleeping. I got a report of someone getting a ticket for sleeping, but it wasn't in the park. It was in a bank parking lot, of all places. At last, a use for bank parking lots. It doesn't involve, you know, housing vehicles that wait while you get ripped off in the banks. So there's a situation happening over there where there's a contradiction between how the county and the city are treating the protesters and how they're treating people who are engaging in survival camping who have no legal place to go but who are trying to do what they can. They are facing criminal treatment and being shooed away, whereas those in, who are protesters aren't. Now, some of that's a class division, and some of that has to do with numbers, I think. I mean, if you have the numbers and the support, sheriffs and police just can't do this. Although they're, you know, the police and sheriffs have grown much stronger over the last decade across the country. Even the militarization of the country has been astonishing, you know, given these terrorist pretexts that have been raised endlessly by the government and the local governments as well. It's, you know, it's become a sort of a security state or an insecurity state that we're in the middle of. And now people finally will they begin to reclaim their rights? Well, they're starting. And the place to start in Santa Cruz and perhaps in different cities across the country and in New York City are the Occupy camps, Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Santa Cruz, you name it, 1,600 of them, and growing. So let's hear what the – I'm going to again play again for those of you who weren't listening on Sunday – the events of Friday night, where the Santa Cruz Police Department, through its acting chief Steve Clark, about whom I have very little positive to say, apparently put a bug in Steve Plaich's ear. Steve Plaich is an activist who's done a lot and is doing a lot of good things, who wants to see these protests thrive, but his point of view, I think, is much more conservative than mine, and I think it's easier for him to be used by the police because he's running for city council and so forth in a perennial campaign, and frankly, he'd be better than any of the city council members currently there, but I don't like what he does anyway around this issue, or haven't, and I've talked to him about it. We have different points of view. Clark, through Plaich's announcement, scared away the protesters from Mission Plaza Park, where they were on Friday. That's the park that's up on the hill next to Holy Cross Church. I didn't think much of that location, but I think less of the protesters being scared away by the police. But they moved to the county building, and then, lo and behold, county sheriffs and deputies showed up and said, leave. And I'm going to play some of the tape again, which I played on Sunday. I didn't quite finish, because I think it's really exemplative. Now, this is something that has not been repeated in the last three nights. So you might say, oh, see, everything's much better. There's a great understanding with the sheriffs. There may be, but it's been my general feeling that, you know, that unless you only have the understanding if you have the power. And so I encourage people to keep coming on down to Occupy Santa Cruz, sending down food and supplies if you can't make it, setting up an Occupy in your own city, because that is going to be the change. It's not going to be the city council. It's not going to be, you know, liberal or progressive or lefty or righty groups working on their lonesome or lobbyists. It's not going to be through, you know, any of those mechanisms. It's going to be through mass action by people. And that's been my belief all along, and it's even now more my belief. And I think that, and I was saying this to a couple people today, that we're going to see more and more people who have felt isolated, vets, people have lost their pensions, people have lost their homes, or friends or relatives of those people who see these protests and think, I can finally speak out. I can finally do something. I can finally have my voice heard. I can finally express my outrage, and I can finally find a way to change this situation if enough of us get together. And that's why, in a certain way, I see these protests as succeeding. Because they have their own momentum, not based upon, oh, it's a good idea, or, gosh, now is a revolutionary moment, or, gee, I have a lot of sympathy with these folks, but rather people who have had the shit kicked out of them, or their friends have had the shit kicked out of them, and they have no redress because wealth rules, and the rules are for the wealthy. They suddenly see places they can go to where others are saying exactly the same thing, facing the same conditions, and they can be heard for the first time. And this is a power that is stronger than, well, I think it's intensely strong. Anyway, let's hear something from Friday night. I'm playing the right tape here. Yeah, I think I am. And you'll get my, of course, occasional commentaries. You can call in if you have any thoughts, 427-3772. And I think we may get Danica DeFoy calling in as well. She's, again, a radio personality, broadcaster, analyst, activist, who hoping to hear from.
So I'm here at the county building. And on one side, and from the Water Street side, numerous activists have, 25 or 30, have set up a tent, or canopy actually, and now we have a squadron of police, sheriff's deputies, who are kind of walking toward the, well, they're walking across the grassy area. Looks like a total of 11 deputies. Hey, guys.
Hello, Robert. How are you?
Oh, okay. Looks like some kind of a party going on here.
Absolutely. We'd like to join.
Oh, I'll keep an eye on it. Looks like we have at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, probably more police vehicles here. And these deputies are trotting the wet grass. I'm following behind to keep an eye on what's cooking.
Hey, Robert.
What's going on? No, no, I'm
over here.
I'm not. No,
okay.
One. It's run by a consensus process.
Okay. We're just going to give them a few flyers.
Cool.
Explaining the rules of the county building, okay?
Uh-huh. Are there new rules, or is this the same as last?
That was the first lie. They didn't give them a few flyers. They told them to leave. So whoever said that either didn't know what he was talking about or simply was a change, or changed his mind about what he wanted to do or was intentionally lying. And that kind of outrages me as I review the tape, but it's nothing new with police and sheriffs. And it's not that they're bad human beings. It is that they are people in an institutional structure where this is allowed and encouraged. If you have the power, then you tend to use it, even if it means changing your story, lying, covering up facts. That's just, you know, if you can get away with it, why not? It's all in the pursuit of a larger objective, which is following your lieutenant's orders, or maybe you have some fantasy that you are serving the community by repressing disorder, where you see political protest as disorder.
It's probably going to be the same as last time. It's just on form. We're trying to work with you guys. So it's going to be a low-key thing right now.
They got some great signs here.
Huh?
They got some great signs. There must be about 50 or 60 political signs on the steps. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, they do, huh?
Pretty nice. Perhaps a little disorganized.
And this is me schmoozing with the deputies and walking with them.
Oh, I see all that.
Yeah. So, let's record the police are speaking to the liaison.
Again, by police, I mean the deputies. There were no Santa Cruz police officers, at least in uniform, there that I saw.
All right. We make decisions as together, and so I'm going to have to...
And this guy said we make decisions together. That's Casey Livengood, who's at that point had been appointed by the group as a sort of a spokesperson, but he explained that he was trying to explain that he doesn't make decisions, that the group makes decisions, and you hear him just trying to have a dialogue, I believe, with Sergeant... I think his name is Hansen or Henson. You'll hear me talking more about him.
So, 4647E, which is the penal code section, so we're going to ask you guys to leave. We'll give you a couple minutes to pick up your stuff. A
couple minutes? So it's going to take more than that.
And here you see again the contradiction. Yeah, this is a low-key thing. Well, he's being low-key and saying, we're going to ask you all to leave. And I suppose you might say, well, we're only asking you, we're not telling you. I mean, but the point is, when a police officer or a deputy asks you to leave with a gun and a badge and 7 or 8 or 9 of his fellow officers with him by his side at 11 o'clock at night, and that's when this was happening, 11 o'clock on last Friday night on October 7th, it sounds like an order. It sounds like if you don't follow this, you're violating the law and you're going to be prosecuted. So this shows... duplicity. I called it that when I wrote about it on indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. You can read my story there. Go to Santa Cruz Indie Media. Look on the right side of the screen. You'll see a discussion of how there was duplicity by the sheriffs. And actually, that also referred to a later incident the next night or the night after when they came back. And even though they had told people at the end of this encounter, they finally say, well, you can have your signs, but you can't have anything else there. You've got to just, you know, clear off. Then they came back the next night or the night after and said, no, you can't have signs, you can't be here. Doing the same thing again, trying to frighten people away with essentially unconstitutional demands. I mean, if some thug came up to you in the night and told you couldn't be where you are, you would, I think, feel properly indignant and frightened and angry and want to call the police, you know. But when it's the police or the deputies that are doing it, it's a real difficult situation, even more so. We do have a caller, and I think this may be our guest. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, this is Danica DeFoy, Robert.
Hey, Danica, have you been listening to our broadcast?
You know, I haven't. I just got home a little while ago, but I have been updated by yourself about the rental problems you said you were going to talk about. Is that what you ended up talking about?
I've talked about, yeah, the Capitola rent control vote that's actually happening at the Capitola City Council in the next hour or two. The City Council meeting in Capitola is starting at 7 o'clock, like right now. And but I've also been talking about police and sheriff's actions at Occupy Santa Cruz, which right now, as I understand it, there's no action against Occupy Santa Cruz, but there is a threatened action against Occupy Wall Street. Tomorrow morning, there's supposed to be a clearing of Wall Street. Police are going to forcibly clear the area, and that's something that has a lot of people concerned. Where are we talking to you from? Where are you calling from, Danica?
I'm calling in right now from Prunedale, which is technically Salinas, California. If anybody wants to look that up, it's a pretty place. This used to actually be a chicken farm, the place that my parents are trying to buy.
What's it called again?
Prunedale.
Prunedale. Oh, I've heard of Prunedale.
Yeah, or Prunetucky if you're a local.
So you've been a broadcaster for how long with KXRA?
It's KRXA540.com, and
KRXA,
I've been with them for like a year, I guess. I mean, technically with them, I guess. But, you know, I think that it's a great group of people, and it's really helped me, I think, grow as a broadcaster. But I think a lot of people on there, too, are very fun to talk to as far as, I don't know, just human beings and connecting with each other. Because I like to go in the chat room like a total dork, of course. But that makes a big difference, I think, because we have the group of people from, like, there's one guy from Nicaragua and one guy from Brazil and that sort of thing.
And this is on the air every Friday night?
Yeah, it's on the radio sometimes, but we're being preempted by football right now, which is a bone of contention with a lot of people.
What are you being preempted by? I'm sorry?
We're being preempted on the air by a football game, but we do have our internet stream, so we have, you know, a good listenership on the internet usually every week, but you know, it does sting not being on the radio. Like, you know, told me that yourself that you have your transmitter, I think it was. Is that?
Yeah, we're looking for, I guess we are going to be trying to recruit people to help put the transmitter up in a high spot, which would then allow us to go back on the air. We actually have the spot. We just need to have people who are competent at climbing trees, and then we're going to try to do that soon. Every week, your KRXA show is preempted by football? Is that right?
Yeah, it's not every week. It's just for the season, and it's sometimes, like, a couple of Saturdays ago, we were on the radio, and it is, I guess, only for the season, but it was kind of funny because a lot of the people, I went to a protest recently, and they were like, well, you know, I think that's so horrible, and I was sort of mad about it at first, but I understand there's some politics behind it, too, so I don't mind.
Well, football has big advertisers. You got to get yourself some big advertisers. You know?
Yeah, not really. I think, yeah, they actually paid more money on our show.
Really?
Yeah, but I know that a lot of people enjoy our show as well online, and that's the audience that I was going after because I think it's a more youth-oriented audience.
What kind of issues have you been covering on your show the last few months?
We've done, of course, the Occupy Wall Street protests, and I like to focus on freedom of information as well as the corporate takeover of our democracy. But any issue that I see on Twitter or online or even in the paper, if I happen to glance at a real paper, and then I will include that as well. But it's kind of issues that I think are important over the course of the week.
And this is a two-hour show every Friday night?
Yeah, every Friday night. It starts at 8:06 Pacific time.
And people can actually hear it tomorrow night. How can they get it on the Internet, since that's where we are?
Yeah, on the interwebs, everybody go to www.krxa540.com. And then you can just look up KRXA 540 on Google or what have you, and it will bring up the site as well if you want to do it that way.
What's coming up tomorrow night? Do we know?
I'm going to talk about the environment, I know, as well as the protests, and it will depend because we're going to have a different engineer, which makes it a little difficult because our regular engineer is fabulous, of course, but not to say the new one isn't, but
you might maybe take
just
some training.
A friend helping, so that, of course, makes the broadcast a little different, but I think that it's really fun to do anyway, so I try to modify it because usually I incorporate a lot of clips. And if I can't do that, then I have other people talk, or I will just add another topic so that if there is dead time, in case there's not a lot of callers, because even though we have a healthy listenership, I did notice that we do have a variation in callers, which is interesting, and I don't know what that's about, because I was hoping I didn't intimidate people, but I know my parents, they also have a show, and they get a little more callers on their show, and their ratings aren't the same as ours. So I'm like, I think I might scare people, so I hope they don't do that to your audience.
Now, wait a minute. Is this a nepotism? Have your parents been influencing the station to give you time? Is that why you're on the air?
No, actually. Somebody heard my show, which is actually a friend of my parents, but he's a friend of mine as well, and he decided to find out the show. And he thought that I brought a lot of cool articles because I actually substituted for their show. So he decided to do a show with me instead. Or not instead, but also, I guess. But on Friday night, it's just myself and him usually, unless we get a guest host.
So that's going to be happening tomorrow at KRXA540.com, or just Google for KRXA.
Uh-huh.
I ran into you first, I believe, at the Bradley Manning / Julian Assange protests this last winter, and unfortunately Bradley Manning is still, you know, locked up in Leavenworth, and Assange is still under house arrest, and although it's, I could call it mansion arrest in England. But we did, you know, we spoke out briefly, and I think, you know, if you look at Assange takes some responsibility, perhaps it's a grandiosity on his part, perhaps not, for the some of the uprisings in the Middle East and the Near East, you know, where in Tunisia and Egypt and so forth, where the revelations of WikiLeaks against not just U.S. war criminal behavior by the Obama and Bush regimes, but also the behaviors of, you know, Mubarak and Ben What's-His-Name in Tunisia and so forth, had, you know, prompted outrage and finally got people to start showing up in the kind of numbers that we kept hoping. Why isn't it happening in the United States? And now finally it seems to be happening here, and to some extent. Have you been to any of the Occupy Salinas or Occupy Monterey? Or I guess there's an Occupy Seaside I've heard about, too.
Yeah, I don't know. Those are all really small. I know that Occupy Santa Cruz has some steam about it, and we did have a KRXA. And it was actually the Peace Coalition of Monterey protest, which was this past weekend. But I do need to do that. And like I told you, I was actually moving the last couple of weeks, and that's just a total nightmare, too, because I've been a renter, along with my boyfriend here in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. And my, I don't want to say too much about it, but, you know, it's very hard for people to deal with being a renter in these counties, because it's very hard to get honest people, I think. When also there's no,
you mean
rental
honest
cap.
Honest landlords, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, both ways, and yeah, the landlords really, but yeah, I think it's hard for people to have a good deal going on for one party, which is usually the renter.
What's the story for renters in Monterey County? Haven't you, for the last couple of years, you've mostly been in Monterey County, and we've talked about the abuses you've suffered at the hands of the deputies or the police there,
mm-hmm.
and in graphic detail, perhaps even in pornographic detail.
Well, not that bad, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, your kind of your base has been in Monterey County. What's the situation for renters in Monterey County as compared with, I guess you are up in Boulder Creek, in Santa Cruz County? I mean, I know that, you know, with this huge foreclosure crisis, that has thrown a lot more renters onto the market if people lose their homes, and that gives the landlords a blank check to do whatever the hell they want,
mm-hmm.
as well as employers who are faced with this massive labor pool. They can just pick and choose whoever they want. And they say, oh, you haven't been employed for 6 months. Sorry, I don't want you, you know. And although this is being made technically illegal, it's probably going to be, you know, continuing. Any general comments about the rental situations in Monterey compared to Monterey County compared to Santa Cruz County, or about the homeless? That's really one of the issues I am particularly interested in, but I don't know how close you are to that issue in Monterey County.
Well, I know as far as I'll do the renters first and then the homeless, I know that their rental situation is very similar because it's so expensive in both counties, and I've been a renter in both counties. And I think in Santa Cruz County, where we were, it was very similar. So I think that it's a bad boat for renters, really. Excuse me. But I think that everybody in Monterey and Santa Cruz County who's rented knows this because you put a huge deposit down. And I was making the point on Facebook, you know, it's not like when everybody rents their first place maybe as a teen unless, you know, you're the perfect renter as a teen. It's like when you are being, you know, doing every single thing when you move out. And then a lot of times, like in our case, we had septic problems that were not taken care of. And there was mold that was painted over by the landlady. And so that kind of stuff is something you are either lied to about or you have to take for, you know, just take in stride, I guess, as a renter when there isn't so many choices if you don't have that much money, I think.
We're talking about, and, you know, this evening about the Capitola mobile home rent control destruction. Is there any rent control for mobile homes in Monterey County? What's going on down there?
There's a rental board, and I know there's low-income housing units, but the list is really, really arduous to get on, and then I think it might be closed in both counties. And I myself have before tried to get on the list, and they tell you, okay, first of all, it's probably going to be about 2 years if you're ever contacted.
You're talking about Section 8 or?
No, low-income housing, just, you know, the low-income housing rental if you don't have that high of a rental. And I'm not, it's
and you're
not
talking about
Section
rental
8, it's a different.
Mobile home rental, or are you talking about actual, you know, apartments?
No, yeah, just anything, any unit in general.
Because the reason I mentioned mobile homes is that's, you know, that's the affordable housing for many people is a sort of a litany I've repeated mm-hmm. for the last decade. And particularly, I got this originally from Santa Barbara's Homes on Wheels. Affordable housing is a car. Affordable housing is a vehicle. Affordable housing is can be, for some cases, for people who are a little
more. Yeah, but that's not practical, and that's not the American dream. It's not, you know,
oh,
that's the name
not.
Of my show, and I think that really people shouldn't be forced to live in
no,
their cars.
No, but if they are forced to live in their cars, and then they're criminalized anyway, which
yeah,
is what happens in Santa Cruz, I'm wondering if people have to live in mobile homes, which are, you know, one step up from your car, and, you know, theoretically it's a home, even though it's a box, and you know, you're crammed next to a bunch of other boxes and, you know, and it's, you know, what kind of security you have given the huge amounts of money that the owners of these properties have to gut the laws that might protect you. What's the situation in Monterey? Do you know anything? I mean, you may not know. You're not billed as an expert here. You know anything about mobile home parks in Monterey and whether there's
no, I don't really know that much about mobile home parks myself, Robert, and I've always lived in either apartments or in houses with other people. So, you know,
I
actually try to stay away from mobile home parks as far as the renter goes just because, as you know, I have animals, first of all, but second of all, it just doesn't seem ideal. And like you said, it is something that a lot of people are forced to do. And I know one of my callers says that he has a mobile home that he actually thinks is great because he doesn't have that high of bills. And he says it's a great little space because he's a bachelor. So, you know, some people think it's great. But then, too, I think that there's also issues of some of them being toxic, I know.
Uh-huh. And while I've got you on the phone, we've had a lot of smart meter criticism here in Santa Cruz. We actually passed the Board of Supervisors passed a law that put a moratorium on the installation of smart meters, which, of course, was then immediately ignored by PG&E and its distributors, Wellington.
Uh-huh.
What's happening in Monterey with the smart meters? We've had debates on the air about their health impacts, the privacy impacts, the accountability and transparency impacts. Has that been an issue for people in Monterey, and what's going on with them down there?
Yeah, that's a huge issue with our callers at KRXA, and everybody's very up in arms. And there's, you know, the one side says that, you know, there's a camp of people who claim to faint upon coming in contact with the smart meters. And then there's the other side of the coin where we even have conservative sort of listeners or libertarians, whatever you want to call them, or they call themselves, but they are saying, you know, that doesn't have anything to do with anything, and these smart meters have no effect on people's health. but it is something people are very concerned about. And I know that Wellington Energy, I've personally seen those trucks everywhere in Santa Cruz and in Monterey County, especially in our area here in Prunedale. And my parents have a no smart meter sticker on their house, so that's something that's positive, I guess. But in terms of them respecting people's wishes, I don't think that happens often either.
What about the authorities? That's been one of the reasons for the recall actions against Sheriff Wowak, Phil Wowak, here in Santa Cruz County, because the Board of Supervisors passed a law that said thou shalt not install smart meters for the next, you know, few months.
Yeah.
And Wowak ignored that, and then when people protested it and tried to stop the smart meter installation, Wowak sheriffs arrested the protesters instead of the installers, even though the county law, you know, specified the installers were not to install.
Yeah.
I haven't got the law on my fingertips, but that's my vague understanding of it. Anything like that happening in Monterey? Was there a law passed, or is...
You know, I'm not quite sure. I have a caller who's very interested in this, and he always tells people to go to stopsmartmeter.org. But I think that, unfortunately, some of the rhetoric surrounding the smart meters clouds the fact that people just don't want them on their house. And for me, that's a huge issue. And also the fact that they may be able to cut your power off right away, which I think is also a huge danger, because before I know they had to just send a guy out. And there was that little in-between, but it seems like now that they could just shut it off immediately. So there's different concerns, but I know there's several people who have health concerns, so that shouldn't be poo-pooed or whatever you want to say, because I know you can cuss on your show. I'm not used to doing it, but, yeah, definitely it's a concern, but it's not something I personally am concerned about, and I have talked about it, but really I'm not that concerned about it, other than that if I say no, then they probably shouldn't put it on the property you're on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting issue you raise about how the power can be cut immediately. I think, although I think there's supposed to be some protections from cutting it if you are, you know, just like with the cutting phone service. But again, I'm not clear. I'm looking at Monterey County. I don't see much about that. Their action alerts and so forth. City of Monterey, 29th local government in California to demand smart meter to take action against installation. On March 1st, Monterey City Council unanimously adopted a resolution demanding Pacific Gas and Electric immediately halt the installation of smart meters and related infrastructure within city limits. So apparently it has been done in the city of Monterey.
Well, that's very cool. And, you know, I just moved back to Monterey County, so I would like to say, you know, the sheriffs here, I believe, are a little more fascist than Santa Cruz County, but you said that you think that is up for debate, so I don't know. It's very
bad. Well, I can't
bad.
Say. I mean, you actually, if you've been traveling back and forth, you might give them, you might try a few tests, see how, you know, how the know your rights or how we ignore your rights or we trample on your rights. People who are deputies and sheriffs and police officers often have an exaggerated sense of the obedience due them. And that, unfortunately, comes from the submissiveness that the population has generally been encouraged to and has accepted internally. And that's something that really has to change.
Yeah, and that's why people filming on their phones is so wonderful. And I made the point about Oscar Grant, and you can take that about any of the protests that you go to, that you have somebody on their phone filming you. And it's something that's really powerful that we have peer-to-peer journalism like that, and that they're accountable for a lot of their actions, because if you're alone, it's one thing, but if you have a bunch of people watching or even friends with you, that's something really cool. But everybody needs to document them, because we all know that's happening to us.
Have you been actually doing any documenting yourself recently of any police or sheriff misconduct?
Yeah, I actually filmed a couple of helicopters that were going over the property, because they keep spending money in Monterey County on helicopters to go over the Salinas and just the Monterey area, and I know Carmel Valley area. And I would assume they're looking for marijuana, which I don't think anybody in this area really wants to spend their tax dollars on looking for marijuana, since we've said that it is a legal plant. And I don't want them flying over the house either. I know that there's kind of sketchy airspace laws, and I'm definitely not an airspace expert, so to speak. But I know that as far as, you know, celebrities go, they have to get an injunction for a certain amount of fees. And my little sister and my mother were in the backyard, and there was a black helicopter here in Prunedale that was hovering so low that it seemed like they could take pictures of them, and my little sister was in her bikini. So you have to wonder, you know, what kind of society we're living in. And really, we're probably, well, not probably, we are paying for that. So it's a sick thing that we're paying for them to surveil us, and for no reason, really, because there's no reason to have.
I mean,
there's chicken farmers out here, or people coming back from their job in Silicon Valley, or what have you.
Well, you got to watch out for them chickens. You know, they can
make
them home to roost.
Watch the chickens spend thousands of dollars a month.
You know, I was driving back from Scotts Valley one night, and I saw a bunch of. I talked about this on the air. Three squad cars, Scotts Valley police stopping one guy, and it was 11 o'clock at night, and I didn't want to stop, but I said I better stop. So I stopped and, you know, went over there, and I don't have a camera on my. I didn't have one. I'm still pretty technologically pathetic, but I had a tape recorder, and, you know, I was recording what went down, and of course the sheriff, they came over to me, and what are you doing? And I said, well, what are you doing? We had the back and forth. But I'm wondering, you yourself have been subject to, you know, direct police misconduct, sheriff misconduct, you know.
Definitely, yeah. And I've become.
Have you
used
become
to
apprehensive?
Saying it, but, you know, I think that, too, that when people listen to it, they think, oh, well, that just can't happen. It's one of those things I think, unfortunately, you have to experience. And with that, you gain knowledge with that experience, but it's a horrific experience, and it really shatters your illusions of justice.
Has it stopped you from, you know, when you see the police by the side of the road, have you thought, boy, I should pull over and, you know, see what's going on here, but then you thought, no, I don't want this to happen to me again?
You know, yeah, definitely, Robert, it has affected my perception of the police, and I actually get anger or even anxiety, extreme anxiety, when I see a Monterey County Sheriff's vehicle, even. And they just have to know, I'm just thinking, if you get repeatedly victimized, if you live in a bad neighborhood, I'm assuming, you know, obviously you're not going to talk to them for any crime, so to speak. So I think that they do that to themselves when the community won't interact with them.
We're talking with Danica DeFoy. Danica, I'm realizing I'm probably going to, you know, have to leave you now pretty quickly, but...
Robert, don't leave me. No, it's okay. Thank you so much, Danica, for having me on, Robert. That's awesome. And I think that you guys do a great show. I don't know if you have any help there tonight, but you do a great show, and it's a wonderful thing that you guys have at Free Radio.
Well, I really wanted to give you a shout-out for supporting me in the on the Sentinel website. There are a lot of trolls who wander around denouncing me for, you know, they think I'm some sort of multimillionaire who is... could put up all homeless people at his house if I had a house, you know. But the issue that, you know, you kind of come in with some sort of straightforward, common sense points of view, which I don't know how much it impacts, but it's reassuring to get some support. I'm talking about the story about the mock Nazi salute that I did an op-ed piece last, I guess it was last Sunday in the Sentinel. And there was a lot of, you know, I can't believe anything he said. He's a bad guy. And, you know, I appreciate your standing up and saying, no, he's not, you know, he's not so
bad. Yeah, and
I
would like to point out that there are two guys that were saying that, and to me it seemed like one guy was either a fake account, or I was saying it was possible that he was just a lame person because it said he had only three friends on Facebook, but to me that seemed like a fake account if you're actually posting on Facebook.
Interesting.
So, I don't know, in any case, but thank you so much for having me on,
Robert.
And
next time I want a full report on the homeless, Danica, you better get out there and find out what's going on.
I know. Well, you know, I think that in general, we need to all pay attention to what's going on in the economy, or else we all are going to be homeless. And we can't just focus on one issue, but I think that your passion on this issue in general is so valuable, and it's gotten me interested in a lot of different local subjects when sometimes I just like to do, you know, something a little bit more broad. So I think that's also very valuable, and I thank you for that, Robert.
Keep me advised also about Occupies that are happening in your neighborhood.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Danica. Bye-bye. And you're tuned to the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz. Call-in line is open, 427-3772, 427-3772. I'm going to see if I can get an update from our how am I going to describe him? Very sensitive, anguished. He's an older activist. He's out there on the streets. David Silva is the guy I'm talking about. He is a person with HIV. He's very articulate, sometimes talks far too fast, and I've got to slow him down. He's on a lot of medication, and he's been struggling to get housing for the last month and a half, 2 months, struggling with the homeless service center. I'm going to see if he's got any updates. He's also been hanging with Occupy Santa Cruz, and he's got some reports from there. Let's see if he's in the vicinity. I'm going to give him a quick call and see where we're at with that. Are ringing him on his number and seeing what's cooking. Looks like we may not be in luck tonight.
But, David Silva, I'm glad that you called. We'll be returning my call.
It looks like we cut his machine.
I'm in the voicemail too fast because I'm still learning how to use this cell phone. Sorry about that. I will call you as soon as I get the message. Thank you.
And we'll just leave him a message, let him know that Free Radio is listening, or some people are anyway.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, David, I'm on Free Radio. I'm calling in to see if you're there. If you want to try to catch me before 8 with a report, it's at 427-3772. And good luck. Get back to me if you want. So, I guess, you know, I'm going to try and play a little bit more of this sheriffs versus the protesters tape that I was playing. Probably folks have heard before, those who are regular and faithful listeners to my show. But I think it has something to tell us. And I'm in the middle of it, so why not continue with it? Let's do it.
Okay, we'll give you a reasonable amount of time.
I have to confer with them to make sure that's what
we'll
we want
to do. Give you guys a reasonable amount of time.
And again, the guy who's talking about the reasonable amount of time is, I believe, Sergeant Hansen, and the individual he's talking to is a Occupy Santa Cruz kind of facilitator, spokesperson, police liaison, I guess that's the right word, Casey.
If not, we'll start issuing citations.
We make decisions as a group.
Perfect.
And so I have to talk to them before we can make that decision.
Well, let's get going on picking all this stuff up. I appreciate that. Thanks.
And what's your name?
Sergeant Hansen.
Thank you, Sergeant. So the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 brown-clad sheriff's deputies, armed and fully accoutred, are confronting activists who are now conferring as to what to do. Been told about 647E, the penal code, which...
Do they have a specific description of what lodging is?
Lodging was defined as sleeping by the judge. But it's actually... No, but, you know, they can also be defined as being in a... You might want to ask them what their definition... They won't define it for you. They'll just say they think you're in violation of it.
Okay.
And what they'll then do is cite you for it, probably, if they want to. But I don't know if they want to provide... First of all, this is a public assembly. These people are here engaging in political protests.
I appreciate that.
They have the right to stay here, do they not?
No.
They don't have the right to be here.
So when I said, do you have the right to stay here, Sergeant Hansen said no. And that, again, of course, is something he will contradict later in this whole discussion or be overruled by his Lieutenant Amy Christie. We have a caller, though. Let's give preference to our caller. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Well, hello, Free Radio.
Hey there. This must be David Silva.
Yes, yes.
So, David, I'm playing a tape of the confrontation between the sheriffs and the Occupy Santa Cruz people from Friday night, but I understand things have been pretty mellow for the last few nights.
Things have been mellow for the last few nights, yes. You could say that. We had a little, a falling out between the different tribes. The alcoholic and the heavy drug tribes were getting too noisy, so... The common ground people and softer people moved the common ground over closer behind the courthouse. It's actually closer, more supportive of the Occupy steps.
As I understand it, let me interrupt you for a minute, David. The folks who were concerned by the alcoholic and
it's not so much the alcohol as much as the behavior. It was they were getting violent and loud. And so we just moved.
So you had a group of people who were, what violence are you talking about? Can you be specific?
Well, I was assaulted. My tent was attacked. You know, I was there. They were threatening to throw me down the river. This one woman kept just screaming. For one thing, she kept everybody away. She must have screamed for 2.5 days. It was just getting
so
unbearable.
People moved away from louder folks who were behaving in ways that they found uncomfortable. Now, I take it that was instead of, let's say, calling the police or
sending out
thugs to deal with them or
so
trying
what's happened now is that there's like different settlements. Is there more, you know, the harder core, you know, more hardy partiers or whatever you want to call them, are having tents and they're being pretty much left alone. Everybody on the government side of the river being pretty much left alone. It's people on the other side of the river that are really, 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 really being hassled.
So let me clarify this. We actually have three groups of people. You have you have the Occupy Santa Cruz middle class people and maybe some poorer and homeless people, though not that many, who are camped in San Lorenzo Park. You have the group of the finish. There are protesters who are on the steps of the county building who aren't supposedly not supposed to sleep. That's what we're about to hear from the sheriffs in this incident that happened on Friday night. And then on the other side of the San Lorenzo River, unrelated to the protest, are homeless people who are just sort of trying to hide out and survive.
And they're being hit harder than usual. Everywhere I've seen the homeless that are not involved in Occupy are being hit harder than usual. I don't know if they're trying to make up some kind of ticket level to say that, yeah, see, we try to control the demonstrations. I'm sure the police are absolutely 100% insincere with their motives. I'm sure there's nothing but corruption involved. So I stopped one bus. They were busting a whole clan of about 7 people. They were putting their backpacks in the sheriff's trunk and the PD's trunk and so forth. I just
slow down and speak more clearly, could you? I'm sorry.
Yeah, they were putting their property in the trunk and they're breaking down their camp. They made a little tent thing there over there on the city side of the river and right there near the Soquelfoot Bridge. They were going to be hauled away and their property was going to be taken. So I just started yelling and people joined me. Knock it off. Leave them alone. Knock it off. Leave them alone. And they took all the stuff out of the trunks and drove off.
The police returned the property, you mean?
Yeah, and they drove off and left the
And
road.
This was on the... This was,
if,
wait,
if we're
hold
not vigilant,
it, excuse me.
If we're not
was,
vigilant... If we're
yeah,
not
wait,
vigilant,
wait, David. This was on the other side of the river from where the protest was happening?
Yes, yes.
So we're talking about the shopper's side, the movie side, the side of the river that's next to CVS and Trader Joe's and that sort of thing. That's on that side of the San Lorenzo River.
It's
okay.
Been very harassed, very harassed.
Now, have you talked to many homeless people who've gotten ticketed for sleeping recently? Is that still happening?
Yes, that is still happening.
And I know that tomorrow there's a... how many people have you talked to have been ticketed for sleeping recently that you know of?
It just seems like the large number has increased. And they may not know the difference between ticketing and whatever they got their ticket. So I didn't see their tickets. I've just been hearing a lot more about people being ticketed. A lot more than I have since I've been here.
Now, I know that you've had some difficulties with the procedures of the Homeless Service Center where you tried to get shelter for a while, and we've talked about that on the air. Tomorrow, there is an open house from 2 to 5, which Homeless Service Center Executive Director Monica Martinez has proudly announced and invited the community to. I guess you're going to be going there to check that out?
I want her to meet her community, and I am definitely her community. I am going to straighten that girl out. She is all wrong.
And what is she? What is
in the wrong places.
As if I didn't know, what is Monica Martinez wrong about?
She's wrong about knowing what process is and knowing what due process is and knowing how to administer.
Can you be specific about the problems?
Well, I wish I could. I wish you could be specific, but it seems like I would be talking about just every single thing. Nothing there works right, and nothing there is standardized.
Give me three examples that people can understand what you're talking
about. The volunteer coordinating hours, when they're open and when they're not, when you can come, when you can't, when you can take a shower, when you can't. All those things are flexing like crazy according to who's got a hair up their butt at what time.
Who's what?
Who's got a hair up their butt at what time?
I got you.
That's
so you're going to be there between 2 and 5, and I guess you might have a little tape recorder with you, eh?
Yes, I'll try to have a little tape recorder with me. If my questions get too hostile, then I'll hand it to someone else to do the neutral reporter. But I don't feel very friendly towards the administration there. I think they're phonies. I think they're ripping off the city, and I think they're cheating. I don't think they know what they're doing. I think they falsely represented themselves as being able to being competent. They're incompetent, and they create a real ugly environment. Sure, there's wonderful people there. Sure, there's good services there, but it's crazy. It's insane. There are no rules.
So, what do you think is the impact of Occupy Santa Cruz on the homeless community in terms of where it may be going, if it's going anywhere?
It's really hard to assess, Robert. It is ever changing. I was very negative about it at first because I was really against going to the duck pond because I thought there would be clash. And it was a
my
little
duck
bit of clash.
Pond for those for you mean the San Lorenzo Park where they
right.
where you actually where you have been camping, where they have been camping as well.
Well, we had been before, yeah. And the thing was is there was just too many people already camping in San Lorenzo Park for us to invade, and I was just afraid we'd be blowing it up. And there was a couple days there where a lot of people, homeless people, were resistant. And then more and more homeless people started finding shelter within the Occupy territory. Now they're realizing they're getting ticketed and they're getting stopped and they're getting harassed everywhere except within the occupied zones. So that's a benefit.
So people, the occupied zone, sort of like Peace Camp 2010 last year, has created a sort of a safe space.
Yes, a safe space is just happening. Now, I think it may change all tonight. I think, you know, tomorrow's Friday, tourists come to town, everything may change real fast here. But we'll see. I don't really have much faith in the sheriffs or the police in keeping any kind of word.
Mm-hmm.
There are some rangers and so forth that are like collaborators with us that are trying to do the best, make things work well. And I really respect them because they're sticking their necks out. They really are. But the sheriffs and the police, I don't think they're sincere. I don't trust them for a single second. I've seen how they've been treating us all along. And, you know, they need to go to The Hague and be reprocessed.
You mean be taught process or be hauled before the court?
Hauled before the court.
Well, so, you know, you want Mayor Coonerty to be tried with Bush and Obama?
I want Mayor Coonerty to be tried with Adolf Hitler.
Adolf Hitler, I think, took the easy way out, as you may
remember.
Yeah,
he took the easy way out. Well, I'm not suggesting Ryan do that.
Certainly not.
No, and besides, he's too soulless to even comprehend what that means.
Yeah, well, so you will be sleeping there tonight at the Occupy Santa Cruz?
I'll be sleeping there tonight, but I've just been offered a temporary housing situation, and my permanent housing situation is within, like, you know, days to a week and a half away. So starting tomorrow, I'm going to be off the street for a while. That's going to be very nice. I wish I could find my godchild. If he's listening for me by any chance at all, if anybody knows where Billy Budd is, tell him to come home. We got housing. Okay,
fair,
my friend.
Fair enough. Thank you, David.
I have not much else to report, except it's been really, really encouraging to me. I feel like, you know, this is a different revolution. You know, this is the real thing. You know, they're asking the right questions. You know, Wall Street, where's the money? Crooks, get out of office. I think we're asking the right questions for a change.
Yeah, and perhaps homeless people are finding a safe space as well.
Yeah, perhaps so. We'll see.
Although apparently some of your camp had to move away from some of the homeless population or some of the behavioral problem folks.
And it was really just a very, very smart move on the the organizers to, like, avoid possible conflict. There was a really little conflict with me, and this one gal just would not shut up. She was just fighting with everybody. Eventually she was going to get fight with somebody that was going to fight back, and it was probably just a good idea just to avoid conflict. It's not running away. It's just, you know, actually it ends up being a much, much better location. It makes the Occupy Santa Cruz look like one unit rather than, you know, sparsed around.
So this new location is in the San Lorenzo Benchlands, kind of near the Water Street Bridge, right?
Yeah, near the Water Street Bridge. So, you know, as you drive by, you see the demonstrators on the steps, and then you see also all the tents and the food tents, you know.
Interesting.
It's much more presentable image, I think.
I'm afraid that's illegal. You have no permit. You are there at night. You're camping. You're sleeping overnight.
Send me to jail. I dare you. Okay, I'll take you to the Supreme Court, SOBs.
Hey, the Roberts Court will be very sympathetic, I'm sure. Actually, you must take it to the Court of the People, and the People's Court is right there at Occupy Santa
Cruz. Yes, it is. The People's Court is right here, and people know how to negotiate better than the police. The police are pretty dumb. They need to get a little out more education because the people are out negotiating them.
Well, thank you, David.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was David Silva, who apparently is going to check in with the Homeless Service Center tomorrow. And it's open house, open to everybody who wants to go, 2 to 5, out there at 115 Coral Street, for those who are interested in checking that out.
You're tuned to the stream of free radio, freakradio.org. And I'm going to try to round up some people to maybe do some transistorizing of the station so we might actually get back on the, or transmitterizing, I guess is the right word. Not transistors, may it be, I guess radio tubes are a thing of the past. Anyway, let me play some more of the, repeat again, there was a confrontation last Friday between the sheriffs who were telling everybody to leave, take all their stuff with them. That was Sergeant Hansen's word to Casey Livingood, the activist who is liaison with the police from Occupy Santa Cruz. Let's hear how that played out.
Is this area closed at night?
Yeah.
Is it posted closed at night? I don't see any signs.
I'm not here to debate with you.
I'm just wondering where the sign is, if it's closed.
It's not closed at night. He's lying. So there's no signs posted. And so I'm not calling him a liar at the moment, although I think maybe later on I get a little more passionate. But people have to be, you know, essentially given the facts as much as possible. People can be arrested anyway because these sheriffs, you know, can do what they want to do. But they also can be bluffed. That is to say, people can be bamboozled and intimidated into surrendering their rights. And that is really, I think, a tactic the police and sheriffs have been using over the last week.
That's at night, that's all. I don't see it.
First, we have a lawful right to ask you guys to leave.
We are asking.
The owner, the CEO, CAO, CAO, the county.
Chief Administrative Officer.
Yeah, that gal, right, who owns this property, has said people cannot stay here. Right? So you have to have the owner's right, just like any private land?
Of course, it's the people that own the property, not any particular highly paid $500,000 a year Susan Mariello, chief administrative officer.
Okay, let's stay here. She says you guys do not have a right to stay here, so you guys have to move.
But it doesn't say anything in here that we have to leave by 10 o'clock. And there's no office hours. There's no sign saying it's closed after 10. It doesn't say it's a park. I don't know what you want.
I'm asking you guys to leave. If not, we're going to take enforcement action. It's very simple.
And he repeats this threat to remove people's constitutional rights. I mean, this guy is, as an armed thug, who's operating either in ignorance of the Constitution or in violation of it. And, of course, what's really happening here is the police are doing their usual bluff and bully approach, try to get people to move with threats, which I probably don't have much intention of carrying out.
I would like to know why this is lodging. I don't know what lodging is. Like, what makes this lodging?
You guys are staying.
They're claiming that at any time members of the public can be told by the CAO to leave this property. They're claiming that political protests can be illegalized at any time by an edict by the CAO. I don't think that's actually constitutional. I mean, do you?
I'm not here to
I understand.
To get into debate.
I'm not debating either, but I'm just one person's opinion.
Assembly.
I appreciate what you guys are doing. I'm just trying to follow the guidelines, okay? So if you guys can move on, that'd be really...
He doesn't mean the guidelines. He means he's following orders because he hasn't presented any guidelines. There's no closed after a certain hour sign. There's no specific written authority from any particular person complaining. Although I guess he probably got an order from somewhere. So what he really is saying is he's in the traditional just following orders. But obviously there are a lot of contradictory orders or else he's not being entirely candid. It's not too clear what's going on.
Appreciate it.
Can I confer with them?
Don't
I'm asking you guys to leave. If not, we're going to start taking enforcement action.
We make a decision.
You guys can make a decision across the street in jail if you'd like.
No, we're going to circle up and have a conversation.
If you guys decide not to leave, it's a continuing misdemeanor, and we have the ability to take you guys to jail.
Can we?
Yeah.
Can we have one more meeting to discuss that? Thank you.
We have other things to be doing too.
Hold on. Let's circle up.
This is outrageous, man.
So, Steve, you been following this?
No, not at all.
That's Steve Plaich I'm talking to, the so-called legal observer who's move along from Mission Plaza order from Steve Clark, the police chief, the acting police chief, got everybody in a panic and got them moved to the county courthouse steps. Now he has nothing to say. Depressing. But, again, I've gone through this before. And, again, we're listening to a tape of an incident that happened last Friday. And that Friday, it's now, you know, we're Thursday. We're a week later. Last three nights there have been, as we heard from David Silva, no attacks or threats by the deputies and sheriffs. And I haven't heard of much from the police either, which is good news. But, again, how long will it continue? Where is the protection? Protection lies in the power of the people to just say no and get more support from the broader community.
Sheriff said that apparently at any time they can order you off the property based on the CAO's orders. You don't have to be, it can be any time of the day or night, you have a political sign or not, you don't have a right to be here. Which doesn't sound, I don't know either. It certainly doesn't sound constitutional to me. He said he didn't know either, Sergeant Hanson. But anyway, there's some discussion of this.
We're not arrested. Yeah, they're going to house us. So the question is, do we want to make the stand or?
Yes.
Okay. Wait.
Can we
get county property,
please? So we can hear someone.
And police officers are going up to deal with the guy with the amplified equipment. Take some shots of this if we can. We have a guy with a camera walking with me. And the discussion continues of the group in front of about 25 people as to, what to do.
Just that square area that there can't be camping.
This is Lieutenant Amy Christie, a superior to Sergeant Hanson, who has arrived and is now altering what the sergeant said without acknowledging she's altering it, saying that, well, we just don't want people camping here. You can have your signs, you can be here, but you can't camp.
But standing isn't illegal, right?
Standing is not illegal, but there's lots of indicia of camping here right now, and there are some people up there asleep in 50 bags.
Right. However, the rest of us, if we're holding signs, contrary to what Sergeant Hanson has said, it's quite legal for us to be here if you choose to arrest us.
If you have a protest with signs and that type of thing, that's okay. But again, like I said, if I see tents and camping indicia, things like that. Yeah, and then what I'm going to do is they're going to do periodic checks. Lieutenant Christie.
Sorry.
You know me.
I didn't recognize it. You've gone up in the world.
Both age.
I remember when you were a sergeant, even an officer, a deputy, actually.
Like, yeah. We've been doing this a long time.
So we could be like in shifts, but as long as we don't sleep.
As long as there's no camping.
No camping and no sleep.
So there's news, folks. There's some news. It is legal, actually. We have learned from Lieutenant Christie to hold a sign up or even to be here, but it's not legal to camp here. So if there's
actually, this is being improperly phrased. It's not we've learned anything from her about the law. We've learned what the latest edict of the police department is and what their latest constitutional warping is going to be.
Policies of camping, such as cooking equipment, sleeping bags, etc., that is considered to be criminal behavior. That's the latest. So Hanson has been overruled by Christie. Who knows who's going to overrule Hanson?
Okay.
We'll see.
We have plenty of these to hand out.
And this is what, 647E? Or?
This is just the order not to camp here, basically.
Okay. You got an extra one for me?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know. Okay.
Well, where people sleep?
Well, we can figure that out.
This discussion continues.
I'm Robert. I'm Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Robert Bruce.
All right. Should I read this?
Wait.
Yeah.
So, I have something that they gave me that I could read to you. Sorry, there's a discussion going on.
Getting rid of the sleeping bags, anything that looks like we're sleeping, and we're going to stay here, stay awake, and people who want to sleep will move into the park and do so.
Yeah, and so now you can look into the white stuff right there. If you have them just on you, just stick them in the desk.
All right. So what we got here is, and here's the actual latest thing we've been told is.
We're gonna vote.
Should I go?
We're gonna vote.
Okay. Should I?
Are there any blocks?
No, there's a new development.
I don't know if it's new. This is what they gave me.
Same thing. It's
the same thing. Same thing. Sorry. Go ahead. So there's a thumbs up. Everyone's doing consensus process here, and they all decide. And what is it?
The decision was to get the sleeping bags and everything that like implies camping into the trucks, so it doesn't look like we're gonna stay awake.
We want
to keep the easy ups unless they tell them to leave us. Unless they ask them.
Camping stuff and food.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, all the food goes back into the van.
All the food.
Okay.
All food or
all the indicia of camping?
Yes, of course. Now they can still. They're showing they're going to use lodging for camping, perhaps, or maybe not. They're going to threaten to use it, perhaps. The questions are continue to be coming thick and fast.
I have a peaceful assembly.
Okay. We can leave the tarps out with our packs on it and stuff. No tarps.
That's still
all right.
Looks like camping, right?
Yeah.
Our contact.
Sounds good.
Email address.
Here all night.
So, folks are taking down the what do we call this structure? It's a canopy structure.
Yeah.
Easy up. It's the easy up. In deference to the unconstitutional demands of the sheriffs,
where's my?
In my view, but people are going to keep their signs, and I guess they're going to do sleeping shifts off the property. Now, whether city police will go after them once they're sleeping off the property is a near certainty, given the sudden interest in the county sheriffs here in the situation. So,
we're not.
However, people are continuing. Looks like we still have 5, 10, 15. I think most people were here before. Maybe 5 or 10 have left. I think most of the people have stayed. And there's a determination to kind of find a way forward. The large banners are being removed to somewhere. Lieutenant Christie has assured us, as you've heard, that she doesn't want to remove a protest. There's a mannequin sitting in a chair, a headless mannequin, says, if they stole your money, they'll steal your head. Headless mannequin. What? Say that again.
They said we cannot have things. We can't have things set up, and that having water set out is essentially settling our stuff. So we can have one on our person.
All we can have is signs. We can be holding food, but we can't have stuff just sprawled around.
That's a real judgment call, and I think you should make up your own mind about that. But again, you have to be aware that anytime they want to arrest you for anything, they can. They will do it. So it's not, it's really a question of what you want to make a decision on.
My impression is that he's been clear from the beginning of what exactly he's okay with, which is us holding signs all hours of the night. We can hold food, but he doesn't want things sprawled all over the place. And
but a case of water is not sprawled all over the place.
Well, a case of water is showing that this.
We have been camping paraphernalia.
Yeah.
No, it's protest paraphernalia for people who are trying to hold up signs. And so don't, don't.
I was
doesn't matter what he thinks. It's what the court thinks when you go to court.
We call this camping paraphernalia.
No. But yeah, I mean, I understand people might not want to do that.
It's obvious that it's not, camping paraphernalia. Everyone needs water.
Right. So therefore, you say no. You put the water there. We're going to keep the water, and they back off. I mean, that's what they do. Or if they don't back off, they could. You arrest us for having a case of water. See what the jury thinks of that. Thank you very much. No. But then again, you have to go through a court case, and that's something you may not want to do. But if you don't want to go through a court case, what are you out here for anyway? Because that's what they're going to do. They'll push you.
Wherever we go. We'll get fed up with it and finally deal with it.
Looks like I see another squad car over here. What's going on? We have another officer down the way parked here. This is a city patrol car. It's a sheriff's deputy's car. A joint operation. First, the city police drive you away from there. Then the deputies drive you away from here. You see, it's kind of the 1-2 thing. It's you'll be safe if you do what I say. Oh, but you see, it's the other jurisdiction. Then you'll be safe. And now you have to really kind of sit down and work out what it is you're willing to, you know, to risk. And
right. I think we should hold down fort here, and we really need to, like, we're getting to the point where soon we're just going to have to make a statement. And, like, the only way we're going to be able to do that is if we have enough numbers to do that. And that's why I think right now it's good that we came to a consensus and compromised a little bit, because we're not ready to make that kind of a stand yet. So we need to get ourselves ready to make that stand.
And we're not done loading the van yet either.
Yeah, we're not done loading. So tomorrow at our General Assembly, we need to stress that this is going to keep fucking happening, no matter where we go, what we do. And unless we get ourselves in a position where we can actually make a stand, we're just going to keep running. So I think the time now has come to form a plan to make a stand.
We're talking with
Jake.
Thanks, Jake.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Because we were going to get arrested.
They said we were going to be arrested.
So we come here. We're going to get arrested. Where can we?
The same kind of nothing permanent that you're doing here. No, the point, though, is do you have any objection to tables and chairs being present if they're not used for lodging?
No.
You have no objection to that? Your officers hear that?
If it's just like this right here,
that's all right.
Yeah.
Tables and chairs are okay, she says,
right,
provided they're not used for sleeping purposes or lodging purposes.
Don't sleep on the table.
Can we, like, so we could have them,
medical experiments.
Awesome.
So,
now, is this no sleeping for 24 hours, 48 hours, or 72 hours?
No lodging.
There's no logic to it, I agree. But,
no,
I mean, what about sleeping?
Thank you, Robert. No lodging.
All right, tables are okay, chairs are okay.
All right.
No sleeping. No sleeping on the tables.
Tables are all right.
So, we're talking with Lieutenant Christie, who's telling us where exactly it's legal, where it's illegal to sleep at night here in the under her jurisdiction.
To lodge in the area from Water Street to that back black pathway that's on this side of the river between this building and the river. I know you can't see
this building being the county building.
Yes. Water to ocean. Ocean to the back side of where, you know, where we put the gas in our cars. Just, what's the name? UCSEN?
Something like that.
To where the botch, what is that called? The lawn bowling? Not that.
That
lawn right there. Back again to that path.
Now, does that include the sidewalk on the other side of the street?
That's
other side of Water Street?
Right now, no.
Okay, so does that include the median between these two? It might not be the safest thing, but is it illegal?
I gave you my parameters.
Okay, so I'm just trying to understand where the parameters are.
I mean, there might be another agency that might have another opinion about that.
Okay.
But I gave you the lodging parameters.
Fair enough.
Is that fair? Do you want my car, too?
If you'd like.
I mean, you know me.
But this could be a very valuable souvenir in the years to come.
Depending on what I do with my life. A card from you. Actually, do you remember that we were down at what was the man's name that was going to go to the Supreme Court on the Pledge of Allegiance?
Oh, yeah. Remember him.
Newdow? You were down there.
I remember him. I don't remember his name. I was recording it, yeah. Here's my card, Amy. Again, I don't know if you've really told Sergeant Hansen sufficiently clearly that it's not appropriate to tell people to leave county property if they're protesting. He didn't say you can stay if you only hold up a sign. I said, if I hold up a sign, will you arrest me? And he said, unless you leave, I'll arrest you. So that, to me, shows inadequate training, a misunderstanding of the Constitution, perhaps a misunderstanding of your orders. I don't know.
You know, I'm going to hear what you're telling me. I haven't talked to Sergeant Hansen about what he said, and I'm making it clear. And, you know, I appreciate what you're saying. And, you know, if you want to make a complaint, you can make it with me now. You can make it with the sheriff's office, but I will make sure that you... I think I've been very clear to everybody.
Yes, you have. At least in terms of... I don't agree with your approach and what you're doing, but you have made it clear that people do have the right to hold up signs. But, I mean, again, this is something that should be clear to all of us as American citizens and simply members of this community, that that's the case.
Well, I'm doing the best I can with the folks that are here today. I'm giving you guys ample warning on lodging, and that's the best I can do with the folks that are here.
I just want to make sure that you give your sergeant ample warning not to repeat his performance.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, well, then what I'll do is we'll probably follow this up, but I'm hopeful that you will, in fact, do what you're saying.
You have my card, too.
And I do, and you have my card. And you will be on the air. No, I don't. You'll be on the air probably on Sunday morning. Sunday morning. Free Radio Santa Cruz. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We're listening to Wes Moses being taped. Watch out, Wes.
Can we just discuss the...
It's on.
In your...
So there.
If this were a real radio station, you could just say,
fuck shit. Son of a bitch. You can.
It won't affect free radio.
No,
anyway. I think maybe the, other than the obvious reasons of, like, the cops not wanting us to be visible and wanting to hide us, I think also the event tomorrow might have been one of the reasons. Is that what I heard?
The, yeah. What, the Pelican Bay event?
No, it
was the reason.
Oh, okay. So somebody told...
What Wes is talking about is a proposed march that happened the next day to protest in solidarity with the prison strikers demanding better conditions at the state prisons, including Pelican Bay. And that notion being that they wanted to clear the protesters before that as a sort of a preemptive strike. I don't know. You know, there's no clear evidence that that actually was the case, but it could be. Well, as usual, I've run out of time here, and I have in the studio with me, looming over me, the specter of music. From the Cream to the Dregs is coming up next. What's kind of exciting dregs have you got for us, Dennis?
Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd. There you are. A happy yesterday, a yesteryear, or yesterdecade. And I guess... Guess that's about it. I'll be back on Sunday, and I again...
Unfortunately.
Yes. I'm going to try to encourage...
As much as we try to prevent it.
Notice how interruptive this guy is? I mean, it's frustrating. Just because I'm...
You're a minute into my show,
I'm just trying to finish it in a reasonable way.
Interrupting who here?
Ah, there. Well, what can I say? I guess I'm going to have to leave now. 423-4833, if you got anything you want to talk to me about regarding... the next show or the last show or any show for that matter. In the meantime, Occupy Santa Cruz is occupying. Get down there and help out or order a pizza for them. Pay for it and have the pizza.
By all means, don't lodge.
No lodging, that's for sure. And there's no logic either, as I said, to the whole situation. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathurst Piers Broadside.
Time to be away. the sky, sky, waiting there for me.